There are 11 simanim in Hilchas Bas B'Chalav. Here is a tour in Shulchan Aruch in one volume, Hilchas Bas B'Chalav. Bas B'Chalav itself goes from Simon Pei Zayin to Tzadi Zayin. Pei Zayin is the simon we've already begun to see. Definitions of Basa, definitions of B'Chalav, definitions of Vishal. And then Pei Ches and Pei Tes are the Isur and Drabban of Ha'Allah and waiting to Milch and Fleshiks coming up soon. All the nitty-gritty important details. And then, usually, Bas B'Chalav continues till Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Aleph, where he talks about from Tzadi Aleph to Tzadi Beis all the way through, so different methods of time transfer, and what if the milch is within the fleishiks, or the milch is within the fleishiks, and v'chulu, 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 v'chulu. What if you had power of a food that was cooked in the fleishik pot, step by step by step, all the way until the last simon Tzadi Zayin is about sharp and spicy foods, and how come cutting onions with a fleishik knife is somehow a problem. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity, before the Zman completes, to be able to dig into those various sugyas. You might notice, though, that I skipped one siman. So there are 11 siman from Pei Zayin to Tzadi Zayin. We spoke about just now Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, Pei Tes, and Tzadi Aleph to Tzadi Zayin. Many, many Jews nowadays who learn Bas B'Chalav learn 10 out of the 11 siman. The missing siman, siman Tzadi, is about the Mishnah on Kuf, Tes, Amud Aleph. It's not often learned often skipped, because the sugi of kechal is not so relevant nowadays. The kechal is an udder, and the Mishnah points out that an udder presents unique, interesting issues in terms of Bas B'Chalav, because you have a piece of basar, you shecht a nursing mother, so the udders of that nursing mother cow are going to be a piece of basar saturated with chalav. It sounds like a real problem. Is there any way to salvage it? Nowadays, I don't think udder meat is really sold on the open market. Organ meat in general, either for legal reasons or cultural reasons, they're not really available much. They're not in the American market, meat market. So the dinim of chal are not practiced. It just doesn't come up so much. I mean, and the dinim of kachal are also very complicated. What does the Mishnah say? A kachal koro umotzi es chelbo. The kachal, you have to cut it open and extract the milk, and then apparently it'll be kosher. The lo koro ain't no over a lob. If you didn't extract the milk properly, it just sounds like you just grilled the udder whole. You're ain't no over a lob. You're not going to violate bas b'chalav. Pretty surprising. Both dinim are surprising. Number one, the safe is very surprising. You know, Arilla, why not? Bas B'Chalav. You took meat and milk and you cooked them together? Why is that not a sederaisa? And how come it's even fixable? What are you going to do? You're going to squeeze out some of the milk? You're not going to squeeze out all the milk? No way you can extract all the milk. So what's taka that what? And the Gemara goes on to a very complicated dinim about exactly how much you need to do, how much you don't need to do in terms of the Gemara talks on koftes and beis in terms of how you cut it and how you squeeze it to extract enough milk, a sufficient percentage of the milk, that whatever remains is mutter to eat with the meat. Hayitachin? What do you mean? Any amount of milk is a problem with meat. And anybody ever bought the bashisha, but that's not what we're talking about here. Why kachal is such a mysterious din? And so many details that don't fit with the normal dinim of Bas B'Chalav, which is why it's often not learned, especially since it's not relevant practically, and it doesn't really seem to interact with everything else. Why doesn't it interact with everything else? How come Kachal is like an island, conceptually speaking, to itself? The answer is, you know, the reason why Kachal could ever be mutter is. What is the Gemara Dash from Pasuk and Kuf Yud Gimel on the days? Lo Sevashal Gadiba Halevi Mo three times. So that means you hear about the word Bishol three times. Okay, that tells me Achila, Bishol, Achil Hana. You hear Gedi three times, and you also hear Halevi Mo three times. So what do the three Halevi Mo's teach you? Let's take a look. The 13th one. B'chalev imo, v'lo b'chalev zachar. B'chalev imo, v'lo b'chalev shuta, We're excluding three types of milk that are not milchik. Which three types of milk are not milchik? Okay, the milk of a camel, chalev tamea, milk of a behema tamea, okay. Or the milk of a dog or a cat, okay. And the chalev tamea, that's not milchik. Okay, that's not surprising. That really came across in the context of basar. It's a shame that the flesh of a camel is not fleshik minator. The milk of a camel is not milchik. It's not minator. Okay. And then the chalev zachar. Okay, so if you have a rare male, a male animal that has some sort of hormonal imbalance, and the male animal is secreting a little bit of milk, it will happen occasionally. Happen occasionally even to humans. It will happen to animals occasionally. Okay, a little bit of milk is secreted from the udders, for the nipples of the male animal, a male cow. But that's not milchik. Okay, and then what's chalev shchuta? Oh, chalev shchuta, shechted animal, meaning it was shechted before. I milk a cow, then I shechted later the next day. That doesn't make the milk chalev shchuta. Chalev shchuta means it was shechted before the milk was extracted. In other words, instead of, it's only milchik if you milk the a live animal. If you shecht an animal, or more generally, the animal dies, and then you find the milk still in the body, the milk that's still in the udders is not milchik. It is milchik, so what's the Mishnah Torah Kuftes? The answer is, that's milchik midrabanan. It's only a dindraban. Min ha-Torah, udders are not a problem at all. We were wondering, what's going on with kal? How could it ever be mutter? What do you mean, there's always some milk left? The answer is min ha-Torah, it's totally fine. Min ha-Torah, you can take an udder as is, suffused with milk, and grill it and eat it. Ayat is milk, that's power of a milk. B'chalev imo v'lo b'chalev shchuta. As Kofi was saying before, the drush has to be roi liosein. It has to be a live animal which could still function as a mother. If the animal is already dead, and then you're getting the milk out of the body after it died, that's not min ha-Torah milk. But midrabanan, Chazal said, this is going to be a little confusing. So midrabanan, chalev mesa is milchik midrabanan. So here's but since the whole issue is only midrabanan, it's sufficient if you go through the process that's described here. Koro, motzi is chelba, then you cut it, then you squeeze it out. You've been extracted enough that whatever remains is mutter even midrabanan. And that's why also the Mishnah says that lo kiro and overlo. If you didn't extract and you didn't squeeze out the milk from the udder, you just grilled it as is, ain't no overlap. You don't violate min ha-Torah. It's an issur d'rabbanan, but not an issur d'oraisa. So that's a din, again. The Gemara darshan is a kuf yigimel beis of chalev mesa. If chalev mesa is not milchik min ha-Torah, and that's already, the Mishnah doesn't formulate it as explicitly, but that idea, the chalev mesa, or chalev shchuta, is not milchik min ha-Torah, that's what's driving. It's implicit. It's already a Mishnah on Kuf Tes Amaral. Tov. Now, with that in mind, let's open up Simen Sadi. We'll open up the Simen that in 7-8 years from now, when you sit down to learn Basar B'Chalav again, cover to cover, it could be you won't learn Simen Sadi, or maybe now, if your ready eyes are open, you'll want to. But at the very least, let's jump straight to the end. Straight to the end of Simen Sadi. Siv Gimel, the only four Se'ifim in Simen Sadi. Here we are, Siv Gimel, the end of a long Ramah. Let's actually start a little bit before where you started in Seder. Let's start from the top of the page. From the letter Lamed in brackets, from the Vilna Gaon letter Lamed. Now you'll appreciate what the Rama is saying. Imkra'u kidino tzlal. If you follow the procedure that's already been described of all the details of how exactly you're supposed to cut it and squeeze it, and then you grilled it, afterwards you opened it up more when you actually eat it, you found there are still little sacks inside, little glands inside that were little pools of milk that had not been squeezed out. Don't worry. Ein lachash, not a problem. The whole list is only midrabanan. The Chazal said, once you follow proper procedure, whatever remains is heter gamri midrabanan. Then he says, now let's think about the how about the following scenario. Another case where we could be made. If he nicho kach shalein kodem tzliyaso in cheldo yom shalom. Let's say I have an udder, and Itaka did, ultimately, I did the procedure that the Mishnah describes, with all the details we haven't seen in the Gemara, the koro motzi eschalbo. I cut it open, and I squeezed it, and I extracted the milk, but I didn't do it very quickly. We were more interested in the steaks. So we shafted an animal, and butchered the animal, dismembered the animal, and got busy with the steaks and the ribs, and all the more exciting cuts of meat. And then, a day and a half later, he said, oh, we still have the udder. We never dealt with the udder. Okay, let's take out the udder from the refrigerator, and we'll cut it and slice it and do the whole process of motzi eschalbo, and now we're going to grill it. So the Ramah said, oh, you should know a chiddush, and that's mutter. Well, what's the chiddush? Why not? You did the process. Okay, that's what Mishnah said. You did the proper process of squeezing out the kral. What's the chiddush? Ah, very good. The chiddush is, I could have said kavosh kemavushal. What's kavosh kemavushal? I mean, literally means pickling is like cooking. What on earth does that mean? Or soaking is like cooking. What does that mean? So it means an important sidebar, which I think we have not yet spoken about. You know, and I know, we all know. That we accept the principle of ta'am ke'ikr. That means that something has the flavor of treif, so that thing is also treif. Everybody knows, if I threw some bacon into a chalon pot, and I put the lid back on, and we let it cook with the bacon, and take the chalon pot off the fire the next morning, you know how to eat the chalon. Not only I can't actually, if I fish out the bacon, I can't actually eat the bacon, but you all know, you can't eat the potato either. What's wrong? The Torah says not to eat behemoth tomato. That's not behemoth tomato, it's a potato.
Those cook what? Together,
therefore, so what?
The
flavor. Because the ta'am ke'ikr, I did it come across the several times during the test, ta'am ke'ikr, the flavor is like the ikr, like the thing itself. Just like I can't eat an ikr of behemoth tomato, now I actually eat a piece of pork, so too, if this potato that has the flavor of pork, ta'am ke'ikr. Eating the flavor is the same thing as eating the thing itself. If I cannot eat pork, I cannot eat pork-flavored potato either. That's why if I throw a chunk of ham into the cholent, all the cholent is treif. Even though I can pull out the ham, not that the ham got mixed in. No, I'm going to pull out the ham afterwards. But the beans and the barley, the potato, they all have... they saturate the flavor, they absorb the flavor of the ham, so they too become treif ta'am ke'ikr. How does flavor get transferred? So one way flavor gets transferred is through heat. You cook things together, the flavors get shared. That's the principle of chalom. It is, however, not the only way that flavor can be transferred. There are a total, if you work through our perek, we're going to come across a total of 5 different methods of ta'am transfer. Heat is only one of the 5. For now, let's just talk about 2 other ones. Maliach kiroseach, kavash kemavushal. Kavash kemavushal, maliach kiroseach. Maliach kiroseach means if I have something that's very salty, I have a very, very salty piece of meat, and I dip it into milk, or I leave it on top of cheese for a little while, we assume because it's so salty, it's going to exude flavor into the cheese. Even though it's cold. Cold. But the melicha, the salt, will be a vehicle for a method of ta'am transfer, without heat. Or kavash kemavushal. You come home from an extended weekend, and you discover that the milk has been dripping, drip, drip, drip. The milk has been dripping into your fleishig leftovers. You were so excited to come on Monday night and have the leftover tongue and brisket from Shabbos, but you discover that it's sitting in a pool of milk. Yikes, what are you going to do? You just wash it off? Let's say better. Let's say simpler. A raw piece of meat, raw steak. You had left it in the fridge. You bought it a few days ago. You went away for a couple of days. You're all excited to come back and grill the steak. You come back and look in the fridge, and the steak has been sitting in a pool of milk. raw meat. I could wash it off. I could scrub the outside. I could remove all the residue on the outside. But is that good enough? So the answer is, depends how long the meat has been sitting in the milk. If I have raw meat sitting in milk for 5 hours, for 10 hours, for 15 hours, that's fine. There's milk on the outside, so scrub the surface well, and everything inside is fine. No flavor has been absorbed. But if it sits for 24 hours or more, that's what we call kavash. 24 hours. If it sits in liquid, even cold, no heat, a 24-hour liquid soak is already a method of time transfer. You can scrub the outside as much as you want to. It's not good enough. It's no longer just a problem of residue on the outside. It's a problem of flavor that got absorbed into the meat itself. So you cannot get that out. There's a din of kavash commercials in other areas of halacha also. There's also an issue with maror. You leave your lettuce to soak for too long, it will be kavash and it will no longer be kosher for maror. Maybe there may be a din of kavash when it comes to arbaminim. But we're focused right now in terms of methods of time transfer. So time can be transferred through heat, or time can be transferred through salt, or time can be transferred through a liquid soap. Heat, or maliach, or kavash. The two others also, two other methods, we'll get to that. Cutting onions with knives we haven't yet gotten to, we'll get to that some other time. But for now, let's come back to the Rambam. So Rambam says, he says, one second. How am I allowed? How am I allowed to eat this udder? The case we gave. I have an udder that was sitting in the refrigerator for a day and a half. Hinicho kach shalem kodim sliyasam chelbo yom shalem. I had the udder untouched, unsqueezed out, with the milk inside, sitting in the refrigerator for more than a day. So it was already bolea, the meat itself absorbed the tam, the milk. Still mutter. Don't worry, you don't have to worry about kavash kemavushal. Taka, why not?
Is it already in
the Taka, why not? What is it? So, very good. So the Taz points out, if you turn the page back, turn the page back to the dark emotion. Very good. So, well, it's already inside. Ochum, the top of the second column of the dark emotion. Hoel the chalei shchuta derabanan. See the top of the dark emotion. Talk is that column is pointing to Isra Hatar, Rabbani Yonah the Ashkenazi. Hoel the chalei shchuta derabanan. Since the whole Isra of the milk, this type of milk and utter milk is only Isra derabanan. Yeah, Torah told Mutter. Lo gazru be lameimar kavish kemavushal. We're not going to apply kavish kemavushal. You're allowed to leave the udder as is, unsqueezed in its natural state after the shechita for a day or two. Even though there are pools of liquid milk inside, which should have been a kavash kemavushal problem. The director says, okay, here in Hakei Machmer. However, he writes, Od Kasab, Rabbeinu Yonah goes on, the Rambam continues to quote Rabbeinu Yonah, Mihu. What does that mean? He says, this is a special kula. If you have an udder that you haven't yet squeezed out, so the milk is still in its original location. But let's say I have derabanan milk. I have chalev shchuta, but it already was pirish. It already oozed out. And I have a cup. It's not still in its natural state inside the udder. A cup of this chalav mesa, chalav shchuta, a cup of this milk midrabanan. And then you let meat sit in that, pshita da'asir. That's of course asir. Does that surprise you? That sits well with you. I have drabanan milk. Isavatra says, we have a special kula if the udder still is a natural state. But if you extract the milk from the udder, so now I have a cup. I have a
I have a cup,
maybe a pail, probably the better image.
I have a pail of milk. This is draban milk.
We have Torah, it's par.
Draban, it's melted, because it's, this is the chal of mesa milk bucket. Chal of shruta. This is the milk that oozed out, or was squeezed out, the animal after was already geshachted. This is only milk with midrabanan. And pieces of meat fell in. I have pieces of meat floating in that dirabanan milk.
What would you say? Rabbi Yonah says, it's a problem. Why is it a problem?
Kavish
Kavosh. He says, look, you have midrabanan, it's milchik. You have meat sitting in milk. The milk is midrabanan. Kavish Kavoshal. Okay? It's absorbed the flavor of the milk. Sounds good? Are you with me or not with me? Few glazed eyes here. Let's recap a little bit. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. Okay. Lo zachisi. Again, we know already that there are cases of meat which are only fleshik midraban. That was spent plenty of time on the opening two sugyas. And if we paskin is fleshik power of minatar fleshik midraban. Today we met in the Gemara Kuf Yud Gimel and Beis and the Mishnah Kuf Tesam and Aleph, a parallel in the world of milk. Just like there could be types of meat that are only fleshik midrabanan but power of minatara, there could be milks that are only milchik midrabanan but power of minatara. One example is chal zachar, okay? Another example is chal tmeah, okay? And we're focused on chalev meso, chalev shluta. Now, the milk that was still within the animal when the animal was nishat or otherwise died. Right, the milk that's still in the udder, that wasn't milked out while the animal was alive. In order to be milked, the Torah has to be milked, extracted from the animal while the animal was alive. Chalev mesa is only milk in Jabal. Point number one. So, point number two. There are multiple methods of tam transfer. One method for a flavor to get not just greasy, dirty on the exterior of another piece of food, but actually absorbed in a way that you can't just clean off. So we know that one method of tam transfer is cooking, but we just learned that's not the only method of tam transfer. There are also cold methods of tam transfer, such as a 24-hour soak or salt. Kavush or maliach are all the ways of driving flavor to be absorbed into perhaps a kli or another food. So lemaisa, if I have a big carton of orange juice, and as a practical joke, someone decided to leave a piece of bacon floating in the orange juice because they know that I love Grove Stand orange juice. And after months of searching, I finally found Grove Stand orange, Grove Stand, Tarpacan Grove Stand. So excited. But someone wanted to play a mean practical joke on me, and he left a little piece of bacon floating in the orange juice. So the question is, well, is that a problem? They're not a problem. Clearly I can't eat the bacon. But let's say I'll take out the bacon, I'll strain out all the pieces of bacon. All that remains is, and Grove Stand is not going to work so well. All that remains is liquid orange juice. Is that okay? Or not. Or vice versa. I had a tasty steak, a raw steak. I was looking forward to grilling it. And someone decided to leave it in a bucket of clam juice. Now, you may not be very excited about that concept at all. Okay. But even if that doesn't turn your stomach, can I just wash off the meat and use the meat? Or no? Everything was cold. Right? It was all cold. But the reason why they tell you it's not enough to ask whether cold was it clean, cold, and dry is because of this. If something sits in cold liquid for 24 hours, that's really going to cause transfer of flavor. So if you have juice that had some trefin meat sitting in it for 24 hours, even if you strain out all the pieces, the juice itself absorbed the flavor of the meat, the juice itself is trefin. Or you have the raw piece of kosher meat that was sitting in the clam juice for 24 hours, it's not going to help to rinse off the outside, to scrub the outside, even to... the flavor of the clam juice after 24 hours of cold soaking You already got, that's how pickles work. Right? That's how pickling works. Why do you pickle cucumbers together with other vegetables and spices? Because over the course of the soaking, the flavor of the dill and the flavor of the garlic is going to get absorbed into the pickles. Either there's no heat. The answer is, heat is not the only way to cause time transfer. Oh, but let me ask you a question. Let's say I have a piece of raw meat, and I left it soaking in the case I gave before, right? You come back from a few days away, and to your horror, you discover that the milk had clearly been dripping, and you estimate that the meat has been sitting in a pool of milk, raw meat, in a pool of milk, already for more than 24 hours. So what would you say? Rabbi, can I eat the meat? All the milk I'll throw out. But I have a big steak. A little bit of milk in the bottom of the pan that I'll throw out. But I have a $60 piece of meat. I was looking forward to grilling it. But if it's been sitting in milk for 24 hours, do I have to throw it out, Rabbi? What do you say? Yeah. Who says yes? Who says yeah? Give me one finger if you all day have to throw out the meat. Two fingers if you think the meat is kosher. One finger for treif, two for kosher. One for treif, two for kosher. And everyone says treif, except those people who haven't raised their fingers. Because maybe some of you who haven't raised their fingers are worried that maybe I should say three. Because the answer should be, well, it's mutter and it's aser, because it might be doraisa meat and doraisa milk, but wasn't cooked. So kavash kimavushal is going to cause traum transfer, but it won't be bas b'chav doraisa because there was no bishul. The meat and the milk are now inseparable. It's like having a slice of deli and a slice of cheese. If I don't separate them and clean them off, but eat them together, that's the problem. Midrabanan. It's not mavushal, but that's a problem. Bas b'chav drabanan. So if I have the steak, the raw steak that sat and soaked in a pan of milk for 36 hours, for 24 hours or more, it's a problem. It's treif midrabanan. Then I tore it. Should be fine as long as I don't cook it. If I cook it, so then now I'm cooking the meat together with the milk that was absorbed. If I wouldn't cook it, it would be fine. But I have a midrabanan, it's already meat and milk that are mingled. Oh. So now, we come to our case here. Let me spell out the case so we can wrap this up tomorrow morning. The scenario that the Ramah is implying in his Haggadot and Shulchan Aruch, and he's explicitly quoting in the Darkei Moshe, is I have a piece of meat that was soaking for 24 hours in milk. We just said, what would that be? A problem with Rabbanan. Meat and milk was not mavushal. With the added twist that the milk itself is only Rabbanan. This is Chalav Mesa. Not that the steak was sitting in regular milk for 24 hours. The Esvahatar says, how about if the steak was sitting in Rabbanan milk for 24 hours? It was sitting in the bucket of Chalev Mesa. Huh. So what should that be? So the Itzvah, the Darkei Moshe quotes here in the bottom of the Torah, the Itzvah has to say, oh, that's a problem. If the milk is still inside the udder, in its natural state, we can be more makel. But just taking away all that specialness, just a standard case, I have a bucket of Drabanan milk. In other words, it's Chalev Mesa, but it was already extracted. A bucket of Drabanan milk. Meat soaks in that bucket for 24 hours, Isvahetra says, Aser, Pshita da Aser, not just Aser, of course it's Aser. And the Taz raises a problem, which we will have to talk about tomorrow. He says, well, isn't that a Xero Xero? Or not? He says, isn't that a Xero Xero? Because after all, Kavlash Kavushal is only relevant Midrabban in the world of Basel Bechal. It causes time transfer, but it doesn't create an Isra Basel Bechal of Doraisa. It's not Bishal Minat Torah, and the milk is only milk midrabanan. So the Taz has something to say about that, and then all the other achron on the page are going to jump all over the Taz. It's going to be they attack it. So we have to try to piece this out. We're going to see our sugya in action, and hopefully trying to piece together the Taz and the Shach and the Yehuda will give us greater insight into our sugya as well.